The Citrix platform is designed in a way that allows to really get quickly to a model. It's all a user interface that allows you, without any prior knowledge, to generate a model with a few clicks. At the same time, you can make adjustments to the model by dragging and dropping different nodes into the model and then implementing the knowledge that you have. The platform is designed to be used by formulators, by chemists, by people who know the relevant information on what it takes to develop a new material. This allows them to say, okay, those are rules that need to be fulfilled. This should be included in my model. And then also that knowledge is captured. I mentioned it earlier with by building such a model, the formulators have to think about what are actually the rules that I'm following on a daily basis, translate that into the model, and then those models are available for other users to be also, to be used for developing new materials. The next step is what we call the search space. Here, we define basically constraints within which a material should be found in. There might be some basic rules. There might be some ingredients that shouldn't be used. There might be some ingredients, some additives where we only use a certain amount. Those are all things that we can set up in the search space, because the model itself, it can extrapolate into all different formulations, and there might be formulations that don't make any sense at all. If we add too much of a certain additive of a flame retardant, for example, there is one point reached where it's not gonna be reasonable anymore. So in the search space, you can set constraints to fulfill those basic rules, but also to set limitations, for example, for ingredients not to be used because those are not allowed anymore, because there's regulations. You may have tested in the past a few formulations that use PFAS or something that is not allowed anymore. We can still learn from that data that utilizes ingredients that you do not want to use. But in the search space, we can tell the platform, don't use that. Give me only a solution within those boundaries. And then, after we setting those constraints, we are telling the platform, what do I want to achieve? What are the target properties I'm looking to optimize for? And I mentioned it earlier, usually those are a bunch of different properties. Sometimes those are in competition to each other, like the price, like the mechanical stability, flammability, whatever it might be. You can then set multiple goals, 5, 6, 7, 8 goals. The more the better, because what the platform is really good at is in performing a multi-objective optimization. This is something where a manual approach becomes challenging, because humans often think in 3 dimensions max and can then adjust a little bit what the impact of one output property will be on the other. The platform is really designed to get you as quickly as possible to a material that fulfills all those different properties at the same time. And then what you get is basically a list of potential candidates. Those are basically experiments that are most likely to fill those target properties. The platform will tell you what the predicted outcome properties are, and it also gives you an estimate of the uncertainty, which is also important, because sometimes the model might be a little bit more accurate, and then you will get a narrower prediction. Sometimes the model will not perform as well, but then the platform will tell you, okay, here, I can give you a guidance in what way the property will change, but it's not highly certain. And so it's going to be important to test those candidates in the next step, or a few of those candidates. You would then pick some of those suggested experiments, and those can be different. You have full control over it. You can go more for what we call safe bets. Those are basically formulations, suggestions that are more in line on what you would have done with a common trial and error approach. But then you can also go to experiments that are a little bit more out of the box, where you think, oh, this is something I would not have tested by myself, but it fulfills basically all the rules that I was setting up earlier in the search space. So why not give it a try? And this is something that we have seen quite often, that it allows customers, or it brings customers to, yeah, think out of the box and remove biases. Because often in formulation development, there is some basic rules that always been followed, and sometimes those are not questions. Just because it's been done like that forever, we just continue doing it like that. And then it might turn out, oh, there is an additive, we don't need to use it. The platform sees that correlation, and the platform tells you, leave it out. And it turns out it's not necessary to use it anymore. And then you pick a few of those experiments. You can decide if you go rather for those safe bets or exploratory experiments. Take those, what we call strategic experiments, into the lab, test those, and then you get the actual results. Compare those to the results that were suggested by the platform, feed those results back into the data set, extend the data set, retrain the model, and repeat that process. It leads to a model that is more accurate, because the suggestions not only get you candidates that are optimized to fulfill your properties, it also tends to give you suggestions that allow you to improve the model. It will purposely put, give you formulations that are outside the range of the formulations or the data that you have collected so far. So let's see how that looks like. This is the first step, where we have the data. In the very first step, we can visualize the data in different ways. For example, LOI is a measure for the flame resistance. We can get an idea on what the data looks like, what the flame resistance measurements are. And then we can pick one of the formulations that are part of our data set that we tested in the past. And we can see what information is involved. And here I show you what a data point is actually like. It is basically a formulation, or the information all regarding to the material. We have the final material here on the right side, and you can see all the different ingredients. The information that we have captured here are the final properties of that material. Those are usually things we are trying to optimize, such as the LOI, the density, it might be also the tensile strength. And then we also have process parameters. Here you can see things like the cure temperature, the mixing speed, any process parameter that you can adjust that might be relevant is also part of the data set. Then we have the formulations themselves, the amount of ingredients, what ingredients, and also for the ingredients, there is also information that is usually information from technical data sheets. It could include, if you have those, chemical structures, but those are not required. You can also focus entirely on other properties like the density, depending on what kind of material you are trying to optimize. And so in the very first step, we're bringing all the information together, making sure that it is contextualized and we have a good basis to beta model. Then we are aware of what are the inputs, what are the outputs, and looking for correlations in the platform. This one is a quite simple formulation. You can see a bunch of ingredients mixed together in one process to get one output, but it can be also a multi-step process. It's quite common that we have 3, 4, 5 steps here, a pre-drying step for some polymers, for example, or a pre-mixing step when we talk about paints. It is very flexible. You also have full control on what the properties are, how to define those, and we will support you in formatting the data, getting it on the platform, and getting started. So, in the next step, what we have looked at so far is just the data that you have, the current data, the historic data that our customers have collected. And now we are building a model. And once we build the model with a few clicks, we can look behind the curtain. We get an idea on how well the model is performing. Here we can see, for example, the model for the LOI value, the flame resistance, basically. And first of all, the platform gives you an idea on on how well the model is performing. We have here the actual value plotted against the predicted values. The closer the data points are to the green line, the more accurate the model is, basically. And what you can see here on the right side is what are the inputs that are most important. We can see here, for example, that the amount of flame retardant has the biggest impact on the LOI. Duh, I mean, okay, this is what it's done, or this is why it's added for. But it's nice to see that correlation actually in the data, to have it confirmed, and then we can also look deeper. We can see what is the correlation like. When I'm adding flame retardant, what is the impact on the LOI? Maybe I'm reaching a saturated state, and at one point it doesn't make any sense to add more flame retardant. So this is a potential way to save cost. Or yeah, it might need to have a minimum amount to actually get to a certain threshold. Those are all insights that you can get through the platform to understand the chemistry a bit better, see correlations, and very important also to see if there is maybe some biases that could be removed, that is seen in the data, found in the data, but that you yourself were not expecting. And so this is the model. The model is then able to make predictions. It sees the correlation between all the different inputs that we can control and the output properties that we usually would like to optimize. In the next step, we are now defining the boundaries, the search space that I mentioned earlier, within which the model should look for solutions. Because the model can now extrapolate for all different kind of areas. And maybe we have used in the past only flame retardants in the range of 10%. It could also try to make a prediction on how it would behave with 30%. But at one point, it doesn't make sense to add that much flame retardant. And those are boundaries that we can restrict in the search space. In this case, you can see basically the structure of our material. And now I can go ahead and say, from the polyols, I only want to use bio-based polyols. So what I'm doing here is I'm excluding all the polyols that are not bio-based. The platform will only give you now suggestions that utilizes the other polyols that are optional. Flame retardant, maybe I don't have TEP available, so I'm also going to include that one. Besides that, I have seen from experience, yeah, we definitely need to have the flame retardant in there, so I'm saying it must include it. And 16% is too much. I know 16% is not going to work, even though we did it in the past. I'm going to limit it to 12%, and the lower limit can be also lower. So this is how you're setting up all the constraints, rules, and you can do the same for process parameters. We have here, for example, the cure time, and it might be also here, you know, 1 hour curing time is too short, so don't even bother to give me suggestions for that. Make it at least 3 hours, and also the mixing speed, 2400 is too strong. I know I'm introducing too much air. 1800 is the reasonable maximum. So you can see we still rely heavily on the experience of your formulators, and there is a lot of ways to include that experience in the tool. And it should be seen as a tool that supports you, that utilizes the data, opens a window, and gives you insights in what information is behind the data, but still including the information that you have and the context that you are aware of. So once we set up those boundaries in the search space, we can then go ahead and generate suggestions. And this is how it looks like, how we generate candidates. We set up a bunch of goals that we would like to achieve. Here you can see the LOI value needs to be maximized. We also want to minimize the cost, some mechanical properties that should be optimized for. And you can see we have here 5 different goals to be optimized for. And a lot of those are in competition to each other, right? Low price, high performance. This is like a really common one. And now I get a suggestion of 100 formulations that are most likely to hit those goals. I can visualize the predicted values against each other, LOI against cost. So we want to be in the bottom right area, low cost, high LOI. So I can now pick one of those candidates, candidate number 2, open it up, and review it. And the information that I get is basically the predicted values for all the properties that I care about. You can see here in gray the target areas. Some of them are fulfilled, some of them are not. And you get a recipe. This is a new recipe that was never tested before. The platform suggests you use those ingredients in those amounts and give it a try. This is, based on the model, something that is likely to achieve the goals. Then you have also other parameters, the processing parameters we talked about earlier, curing time, mixing time, also within the ranges that we defined before. And then you have your candidates, and as you have seen, we have a bunch of those candidates. We can plot those, and then we can select those that seem interesting for us and that are worth testing. We take them, those into the lab, measure those, compare those with the actual results, and repeat that process. So, in order to get started, our goal is to get you as quickly as possible to a solution, to get you to a point where you have suggestions utilizing your data. And it starts all with the data. I mentioned at the beginning, 20, 30 data points is a good starting point. And when you are working with us together, we are trying to get that data as quickly as possible onto the platform. We know that the data can be unstructured. It can be in different places. We see quite often that the data is somehow structured in Excel sheets, but we do not have a large amount of data, less than 100. Don't worry too much about getting all the data that you have into a perfect format. Because first of all, what is the perfect format? There is a lot of ways of formatting the data. And initially, it's not really known what parts of the data are relevant, what are not relevant, where should I focus on. And it's not a fun task to organize data, and even less if you don't see immediate value of structuring the data. So what we say instead is, let's get started with a project that you're currently working on. Look for 20, 30, 40 data points, get those onto the platform, perform that workflow that I just showed you, and get some suggestions. And in that process, you learn what data is relevant, what should we focus on. Maybe there is some data from 10 years ago that is not relevant at all, so why should we spend weeks, months in organizing that data as well? Let's get you as quickly as possible to a solution that actually adds value. And yeah, as you can see here, this is the very first step, and we have a lot of experience of finding the data that is relevant, bringing data that might be not as structured, that might be semi-structured. I showed you at the beginning some information is, for example, in technical data sheets. We have information about the ingredients, and this is not directly machine readable, but we can also help you in extracting that data directly from those technical data sheets, getting those onto the platform, and then have a small data set as a starting point as quickly as possible. And, oh, yeah. This is basically our approach. The goal is to get as quickly as possible to a project where we demonstrate the business value and not you spending years of structuring all the data, getting them into a LIMS system, and then eventually start to then figure out, oh, we have a lot of data that is still not in the right format, that is not working. Let's get you to a point where you directly learn from your data. Here you can see again the QR code to the case study that I showed you earlier about the insulating materials. So feel free to scan the QR code. Otherwise, approach me after the talk. My colleague Tobias and myself are going to be here at the conference for the next day. So if you see us around, it's not too big. So I'm sure we will cross and you can let us know if you have further questions. And we have a bunch of different use cases. So this is just one of a lot. We are doing a lot of works in the coatings industry, also in household products. So just let us know what you're working on if you're interested in utilizing AI to accelerate the development of the materials you are working on. And this includes recipe optimization, but also process parameter optimization. Just to show you that we are working in a wide range of areas, here you can see a bunch of logos from our customers. This is just a selection because a lot of our customers choose not to publicly announce it that they're utilizing AI or specifically our software, because it is a quite competitive field. But you can see we have base chemicals, we have paints, polymers, coatings, even medical devices with high regulatory requirements, and so on. So adhesives is also a big area. We have experience. We have a team of scientists with a chemical background. I myself am a chemist, and so we know what's important. We know what it takes to perform experiments and how to get you quickly to the goals. To sum up, the goal is to accelerate formulation development or reformulating existing formulations, getting as quickly as possible to a formulation that achieves your goals. AI can help you with that to make it faster. See it as a tool where you can implement your knowledge, utilize the data that you have from the past to meet, for example, sustainability goals, react more quickly to supply chain interruptions, and still maintaining a high quality product. Easy adoption. I hope I could show you with those few videos that it is a platform that is easy to use. It has a user interface, you can click around, you can build models quite easily, and it is designed for experts, for formulators to be used. You do not need any coding AI experience. And we have the experience in that area. We've been around for 13 years, started as a consulting company, then started to sell the software in a software as a service fashion, and are having a lot of experience in different areas in the chemical space. We are specialized really for materials development, chemical formulations. So let us know if you have any questions. I think we have a few more minutes, so happy to answer any questions now. Otherwise, feel free to approach my colleague and myself during the conference. And happy to tell you a little bit more about the platform and even maybe show you live the platform on directly for different use cases so you get a better impression how it looks like. Thank you for the attention. And I'm taking any questions. So the question was how we check if the predicted results are reliable or not. It's basically by testing, especially at the beginning when you do the first round of that iteration that I showed you where you get some candidates suggested. The very first experiments might not fulfill all the requirements. And what we've seen is it takes 2-3 rounds of iteration to get to a point where the model is good enough to give you reasonable results. So what is involved is actual testing, but we want to reduce the number because testing is usually involved anyways, but instead of doing 10 experiments, we want to say, let's reduce it by half or even more and take only a few at the beginning, retrain the model, take then a few again, and then then get to a model. And then once you test it more and more, the model becomes bigger, it becomes more accurate, and then you are at one point where you might have new requirements. You can then adjust the model and it will get you faster a suggested formulation that makes sense. But especially at the beginning, it might be that the formulation is not working at all. But then it's even more important to record that result and still put it back into the platform. Because especially those, what I call failed experiments, are actually really, really valuable in improving the model. So this is also something that we evaluate at the beginning with our customers. Have you recorded all the failed experiments? How have you recorded those? Because yeah, those are as important as the successful experiments. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. If not, again, feel free to approach us. Happy to show you the platform in more detail. And I wish everyone a nice exhibition here.